Thank you, Councilman. The line item you referenced, 2549, I believe, that's the 2018 master lease. Because of the timing of when we will be going out for the next lease, which I'd anticipate we'd be before you for our next lease sometime at the end of the year, early in the new year, December, January timeframe. When that lease would occur, the first payment of it will not occur. The city will not be on the hook for the first payment until fiscal year 21. So those funds are not needed in this budget.
So Brian, if they're not needed in this budget, why were they in there in the first place?
At the time, we weren't sure when we were going to get going on the lease and when we were going to be needing the vehicles, and things were pushed off basically a few months, and that's going to allow us to have the payments coming due in fiscal year 21.
Brian, I know this week the audited financial statements of the city are due.
Correct.
Have you received from our auditors the audited financial statements?
In draft form.
It
is in review with their partners right now, but it is in draft form, yes.
Are you expecting by the end of the week to have those audited financial statements, or are we going to be asking, is the administration going to be asking for another extension?
The city will be having the audited financials by the end of the week.
In draft form?
No.
Okay.
Completed.
So my question is, in draft form, what is the surplus of the city of Walk right now?
It's still in draft form. I don't really want to... It's still in draft form. It's still in draft form at this time. It will be out by the end of the week.
So you have no idea?
I didn't say I have no idea. It's in draft form.
Can you give us a range?
The surplus was $21,500,000 roughly for FY17. It's right in that range. They're not finalized.
Councilman Qualley.
What are the leases that we are not going to need until the end of the year that were put into the budget? What kind of vehicles are we speaking about?
That is the rescue I believe we just took delivery on just recently. I'm sorry. That is the rescue we just took delivery on just recently. We've already purchased some police cars last year, and I'm anticipating, as mentioned, other sanitation vehicles and things of that nature in the near future.
My question must have been poorly made because I am looking at account 20-549, 2018 leases, where we are going to, the suggestion is that we drop the $328,578 for leases. Those were the leases that I was asking about. What leases are we not going to be getting?
No, we will be getting everything. It's just that the first payment will not be occurring until fiscal year 21.
We will have the vehicles, but we will not have had our due date for the bill until the next fiscal year?
Correct.
Thank you.
Can I have a motion to open the public hearing? Councilman Sinapi, seconded by Councilman Howe. All those in favor? Aye. All those opposed? Public meeting stands open. If you could just identify yourself when you come to the podium.
Rob Cody, Ward 7. I got a couple questions. First, it's just something obvious. Since this resolution, the language has been changed a whole lot in the last week. At least the draft copy should be available to people. It's not here. So by virtue of that, the residents don't even know what's in it. Mr. Harrington can read these things off as quickly as he can, and quite frankly, nobody can hear him because he's not speaking into the mic. But you're talking about spending the taxpayers' money. They should have the document in their hand to see where the money's going. But they don't. So that in itself just shows another level of fiscal incompetence in the city.
Mr. Cody, are you suggesting that we hold this meeting?
I think this meeting should be held for a number of reasons. Number one, you do not have the auditor's figures from the city on the fourth extension. We don't have them. Brian is saying, well, we've got the draft numbers, but he can't even give you an estimate, right? So both yourself, Mr. Marola, and the mayor went on the public radio and said, on the 23rd of July, we will have the final audited numbers, and you do not have them. You do not have a starting place. You do not know how much money we have. You don't have a flight plan, so you can't go anywhere. So this meeting should be held on that alone. You don't know what you have for money. I mean, this is ridiculous. Secondly, I don't want to mention anybody's name that came before this council 2 years in a row. In 2018, when you said we're going to put $5 million into the paving budget, and that individual screamed and yelled, saying, there's no way that you're going to spend $5 million in paving. Maybe you might approach two. You spent $1.9. We still don't have the transfer resolution from last year for the 3.1. Where did it go? Nobody knows. You know why no one knows? Because you don't have the audited numbers yet. But you want to spend another $4 million. Now, at the last budget hearing, the mayor says we're going to have $4.5 million worth. And he sat there like a fool and couldn't answer one question about paving $4.5 million, which we all know and everyone knows in this room, you'll never do it. You don't even have the contractors lined up. You don't even have the roads lined up. You don't have the engineering done. You can't do it. So it amounts to one of two things. Either we knowingly and willfully padded the budget for paving and several other items, knowing we'd be in a jam and we needed to steal more money from the taxpayers to fund the schools, or you're totally incompetent. Which is it? Either one you choose doesn't make this administration look very good. The other thing I've been hearing from every member on the city council and from the mayor, that we all have to share equally in the pain. The tax increase. So I'd like somebody to tell me and give me a number, what dollar amount of pain is being shared by the teachers who got a $3.46 million raise through Scott Avedisian's negotiations and this school committee's negotiations, knowing that they'd be level funded. What dollar amount of pain have they shared in? Nothing. The taxpayer shared in it. You were all here when the gentleman over there on the fixed income got his tax increase of $1,600. My buddy Jimmy Burns, who flew millions of people around this country, who had a contingency plan every time he got in that airplane. Senior citizen on a fixed income, $1,034 increase in his taxes on his little house. Where's the pain that's being shared by the fire department who stole $437,500 in unused sick time? You got the numbers and I got the numbers. Where's the pain being shared by them? Or the $100,000 when they manipulated the contract for the unused vacation time and schemed another 25%? Where's the pain that's being shared by them? Or when this council approved two contracts on July 16th with a $3 million increase in raises, which doesn't even address longevity and step increases, knowing that you were going to have a shortfall. Where's the pain being shared by them?
It's not. The pain's only being taken up by the people that are only involved in the funding formula, the residents. I'm hearing now through the grapevine that the Warwick School Department has a new motto. Thank God for Central Falls. Because without them, we'd produce the worst students in the state. And all this is because of we're giving away $13.46 million in raises. So I want somebody to tell me, of the $4 million that you're giving them, where's it going exactly? You need to have a document here itemizing where that $4 million is going. We all know the vast majority of that's going to raises. It's not going to the kids. This is not about the kids. This is about posturing for the union. We all know it. And then you want to hit the WISE union for their $4 million, who they were smart enough to invest. I got to tell you, this is ridiculous. This needs to be held because you don't know what your financial position is. And anybody that votes to move this forward, and I'm not saying that we shouldn't find a solution, but as of tonight, you don't know what's in the checking account. How are you going to allocate more monies? In addition to that, Mr. Marola, maybe you can answer this because I'm a little unclear on this. Are we removing all the language that suggests that the school department has to pay us back? Are we removing all of that?
That's one of the amendments under consideration.
Okay, and the reason I ask that, because if you have the language that the school department is going to repay the city, right, then that has the effect that this city council has to increase the maintenance of effort every year to give them the money so that they have to pay it back, right?
I think Mr. Harrington addressed that.
Okay.
There's a state law that says no.
So the next question will be, are we going to have the same conversation next year? Because you got another $4 million in raises next year. So we're going to have the same conversation, right? So we're going to kick the can down the road again. I want to see a list of solutions that this city council has and the school department has to make the fix. We haven't seen a list. Where's your plan? You have no plan. Because if you had one, you'd be screaming from the rooftops and you'd have a press conference and you'd have everybody here saying, this is the plan, here's how we're going to move forward, here's where the money's going to come from. But you don't have a plan. And Jeremy, I'm seeing that. $3 million from paving. So all this says to me is the $4 million that we just mysteriously found means we overtaxed the citizens and we padded the budget, which has been going on for years, right? We all know how we've padded the budget. Need I give you examples? Medical examinations, $326,000, right? Removed from the contract 6 years ago. But the city council's lawyers didn't even know that. It's how astute they are. They didn't even know it. There's another 326 G's. The only people taking a hit on this is the taxpayers. The roads are a mess. We've never spent much money on roads. And the mayor sits here at the budget hearings on May 29th and says, we're going to plan, we're going to spend money, we're going to pave, we need all this. He knew damn well he wasn't going to be able to do it. So now we take that padded line item, we pull it out, and essentially where does it go? It goes to raises and benefits that were negotiated by the former mayor, knowing that we were going to level fund the schools. And incidentally, this city council was made to believe that we had a certain financial position that we didn't have. So I'm wondering why our legal minds haven't challenged that contract in court on the basis of you were provided false proprietary fiscal information and you guys didn't challenge it. And who takes the hit? The taxpayers.
Mr. Cody, that's under appeal and it's under a grievance, so it is.
Well, then you ought to make a public statement stating that we have a legal opinion that we don't owe that money. And if you do that, right, And if you have that under a grievance right now, then you shouldn't fund this at all. Then what you should do, if you're going to fund it, immediately stop the raises, let the teachers union sue you, let them drag it through court, and at the end of it, you don't have the money to settle up anyway.
You're talking about fire.
No, I'm talking about the teachers' raises.
I was talking about fire.
Right, I know that is. My point is this. $13.46 million in raises were given out, and another $3 million between police and DPW, under the conditions that you guys were led to believe the city had a certain fiscal position, which we know now is not the case. So you had an administration that falsified fiscal documents to you, that lied to you, and you guys entered into three contracts, increasing the net liability to the taxpayer by about $16.46 million. And you guys haven't challenged that yet and haven't gotten a legal opinion as if, in fact, those contracts are even could even be held up. For all we know, they could be null and void. So stop the payments on the raises to the school department, who's producing some of the worst kids in the city, in the state. Look, you know, I would like to come here and be able to brag about the city that we're doing something right, and I would love to do that, because I could run my mouth, as you know. Give me something to brag about. Give me something that shows that you people are fiscally competent and that you know how to balance a checkbook. You can't. It's obvious. We're in a state of crisis. I don't know how you can even be having this conversation when you don't have the audited numbers in front of you. And if anybody votes to move this forward, you're completely incompetent and you need to be removed from office immediately. Thank you.
Thank you.
So just to be clear, the school committee actually did itemize exactly where the funds are going. We recited to it in our prior resolution.
And they have a plan.
And there is actually a plan going forward that was also in both resolutions.
I think after the public hearing, we can. I think after the public hearing, when we close the public hearing, everybody can make their statements. Yes, name for the record.
Jacob Maduro, Warwick resident, went through the Warwick Public Schools, K-12. I want to thank Mr. Sinapi for working so hard. I know it's not easy to go against the wave, so I want to thank you for doing that. I just have two observations. The first one is the amendment that the school department needs to pay you back $1 million for 4 years to equal the last year's deficit. If they need to pay you back $1 million, where is that $1 million going to come from? Because those $4 million that you're giving them has to go to line items, the first line items. So they're going to have to cut more to pay you back. So it's really not, you're really not giving them $4 million if that's the case. You're really giving them $3 million because 4 plus minus 1 equals 3. My second point is it's just great to say that we want to work together. And for some of you, I really sincerely believe that. And you, as a city, you want to work with the school committee, you want to and move forward. But it's one thing to say, and then right after you're done saying it, go point the finger. Point the finger about how this sports line item doesn't add up and how it doesn't make sense. If that's the only thing that doesn't make sense, with all the numbers, that's the only thing you can point to, I am flabbergasted. It doesn't smell that, you know, I don't know, the audit was due last year, over 200 days late, and it was supposed, the last extension, if I'm correct, was for last Saturday, not this week. So unless there's something that I missed, you already missed the last extension. And that last extension, I did the math, was 201 days. 201 days. But that doesn't smell, okay. It just boggles my mind. Because you already made next year's budget based on and you never received the numbers from last year's budget. Because what I'm trying to get to is the finger pointing isn't productive. We all know that. And the political games need to stop because this is absolutely ridiculous. What took so long?
Thank you. If you could state your name for the record.
Good evening. My name is Jacqueline Rastella. I'm a lifelong resident of Warwick. I was a student in Warwick schools back at the time of Joe Walsh, so it's been quite a history. I have to say that I had from the Beacon a picture of myself and my classmates, school sports, you had them, why can't we? So to kind of put perspective, my daughter is currently a senior at Pilgrim, my youngest is at Vets, and we're still having posters. So I really think the problem is a little bit more deep-seated than just this fiscal year or 2009. It goes back to, that was probably early 80s, 81, 82. What is the plan, the gentleman had asked, and there are ways to get plans. I think having the Office of the Audit General involved is a great idea. However, I think that there may be a better solution, and that would be to have an independent financial investigator do a forensic audit. A forensic audit isn't just about illegal happenings, but what a forensic audit does in a proactive way is to look at your risk assessment and to look at processes and mishandling of funds. An independent audit could cost $45,000, but you know what? When I went to a school committee meeting last year, it took $40,000 before we could figure out that one of the systems for the speakers needed to be fixed and had to be done in a different way, right? So it's kind of looking at the forest in total. It's not personal. Mr. Howe is, you know, I understand that everybody gets really heated, but this isn't to be a personal or political agenda. It's really to look at transparency and fiscal stewardship, you know? And so my suggestion would be whether for the actual council itself or just our school committee, that a forensic audit be sincerely considered to pinpoint how this overspending has occurred, to make procedural improvements. Somebody can come and just audit your books, but that's very different, and you all know it, from a forensic audit, because our community no longer has trust between the city council and the school committees even of yesteryear. And I think that in order to provide an excellent education for our students, we need to have our financial house in order. And I appreciate your time. Thank you.
Thank you. If you could say your name for the record.
Tom Flanders, teacher, parent, coach, taxpayer. I wasn't going to come to the meeting tonight because I figured, you know, that this was a done deal and so forth, and I wasn't going to say anything tonight. I was just going to sit in my seat. I take offense to some of the statements that were made up here, especially about our students, producing some of the worst students. And I can tell you, anyone who says anything like that has no idea what goes on in the Warwick schools day to day. We have our issues. We have our issues just like any other town or city. We try and do our best as staff and faculty day in and day out. We encourage our students to do their best day in and day out. We encourage our athletes, individuals that drama, band, chorus. We've won awards in all of those things. And I applaud the teamwork that I've been coaching and teaching for a very long time. And I'll tell you, it's always been the school department and the city council as two separate teams. And from a coach's standpoint, you never want that. You never want your team to divide, because that always spells disaster. So the last few meetings that I've been going to and hearing that Ms. Backus and Sinapi and Mr. Marola, all these individuals trying to get on the same game plan and to try and do their best for the city of Warwick and most importantly for our kids. So we talk about pain. The pain that the kids will suffer if this isn't voted on in a positive way tonight is what we'll be talking about tomorrow. So we're talking about pain and who's suffering and so forth. The only thing that I'm thinking about right now are these kids that are home, didn't come out tonight, thought it was a done deal, and I hope it is. Think about them. And I encourage the citizens of Warwick that have that ill way of thinking about our students, which irritates me, and I'm restraining myself quite a bit right now, to come out and go to an athletic event, go to a play, go to a chorus, and try and get yourself, if you can get it through a background check, come in and look at the schools and see what we do on a day-to-day basis and what these kids do on a day-to-day basis. If not, don't talk about us anymore. Thank you.
Is there anybody else to here to speak from the public? If not, if we could have a motion to close the public hearing. Councilwoman Travis, seconded by Councilman Sinapi, Councilman Howe, Councilman McElroy. All those in favor?
Aye.
Aye. All those opposed? Public hearing stands closed. I would like to comment on some of the issues that were raised by citizens. This is a process that I think Tom Flanders pointed out at the end, where we have tried to come together with the school committee. And this council has worked very hard, Mr. Sinapi, myself, going through amendments with the school committee attorney. I can't tell you how many hours I've spent on this issue. I was at all the mediations in the fall. And I thought that we had reached an agreement after hours and hours for last year. I care about our kids. I care about our students. I care about our parents. I care about the education they get. I think I speak for every council member and every member of the school committee. That's a given. But it's when you go home at night and you think about solutions when you only have so much money, I'm sure we're going to talk about roads in a minute. We're going to talk about other issues. Right now, just like when the budget came up, we're at a crossroads. I think we need to vote on this tonight, one way or the other. And the reason that I say that is because the school department is out of time for a lot of these issues. I think Councilman Sinapi mentioned to me earlier today, and I would remind all my council members also, that whatever we do tonight, if there is a problem with the Auditor General who threw a monkey wrench into this plan 2 hours before we came before the council, and I know one of the members of the public was criticizing us as if we had something to do with something that the state threw at us 2 hours before a meeting, and here we are debating amendments. That wasn't the council's doing, of course. We'll get blamed as if it is. We're dealing with the nine of us and two of us aren't present. We have the mayor and the administration and their thoughts. We have the school committee and their thoughts. We have attorneys giving us advice as to what we can do. And if that's not difficult enough, now we get a letter from the Auditor General 2 hours before the meeting telling us, by the way, you should watch out for X, Y, and Z, and I have no solutions to X, Y, and Z. Boy, was that helpful. When you look at the line items, which I'm sure we're going to talk about in a minute, and in particular, the state of the roads, I know there was some discussion about bonding at one point, I think last week. Maybe there were some ideas regarding it. I didn't see those tonight on amendments. I think that was part of the solution, but I don't see it. I haven't seen any statements from the administration regarding that. When I look at the roads and the $4 million that we had put in, I don't think that that's the lowest, or I don't believe that's the lowest hanging fruit, if you will, of where we need to cut. At the end of the day, as Councillor Harrington pointed out, the mayor actually has authority to move money around at the end of the year, not only for the first three quarters of a year between or in departments for the first three quarters of the year, but for the last quarter of the year among departments. So my thought process was, rather than to get an argument on a public policy statement regarding where we could possibly make cuts, knowing that at the end of the day that we're going to be right back in this situation in May anyway with supplemental appropriations, seemed an exercise in futility. I know, based on the amendments, we're going to go through it anyway. What I think most of the people here are concerned about is, does the school committee have enough money to fund those items 1 through 17? What I'd also like to point out before the council starts debating these issues is the school committee requested the amendments that Councillor Harrington put forth. And I heard some members of the public state, well, if you're giving them $4 million and they give him back $1 million, it's really $3 million. The amendments discussed on what had happened the previous year, not this year going forward, those amendments came from the school department, people you're sitting next to. So I'm not pointing out anyone. So when you say the council was cutting $1 million, these are amendments that the school department gave to us, and they're no longer in that line item. What it basically says is, if we go with the second amendment, is that it would be a discussion to be had in accordance with the Auditor General's letter that we received 2 hours ago. And those amendments from the school committee would be taken out. I get concerned when I see the school department, and I think everybody should, to be fair, when I see the school department adopt a budget last year and it's illegal to spend more than that. That's disconcerting. And I don't want to see it happen again. And I think that those issues need to be addressed and people have to be held accountable, especially after the process that we went through last year. And I know rehashing the past isn't helpful, but a long time ago somebody said, if you don't look at history, you're doomed to repeat it. And I don't want to see that happen either. The contracts people talked about, As you all know, Councilwoman Travis points it out time and time again, we don't have a say over the contracts at the school department, and we can't tell the school department how to spend money. They graciously responded to our resolution saying that they would fund those items 1 through 17. That's the, you know, no matter what we're trying to accomplish here, which I think is great, these points about funding and what had happened in the past overlooks, in my opinion, the progress that's been made between this council and that school committee. And that's a positive, no matter how many people want to say their negative spin on issues. We worked very hard as a council and as a school committee to reach these, and that should not be underestimated and unappreciated. We started off with a huge gap, and we really narrowed it down after some hard work. The plan, I'm sure Councilman Sinapi is going to talk about this, the plan going forward with regard to the school department and what they stated in their resolution and what we stated in our resolution as to what we would want them to see going forward. Councilman Sinapi, I'll leave it to you because those are your amendments from last Monday to talk about and point out to the public what the school department, forget the funding, has agreed to do going forward. Because that is a plan, and it shouldn't be ignored, and it should be acknowledged. And there's a lot of positive energy in this room. Any debates that we have about line items should not be interpreted by members of the public that this is a issue where there is a great divide with the school department. I think going forward, we should be, and hopefully we are, on a path that would prevent this from happening with the implementation of some of these ideas next year. I look forward to working with them. There are debate ideas that's going to happen now. And that's what we're supposed to do. That's what makes good government happen when you debate ideas. It's when you become rubber stamps and you do everything everybody tells you to do is when good government doesn't happen. And so I think that's the process that happened over the last 2 weeks. I believe that, and I hope that we can continue this momentum in the weeks to come, the months to come, and into next year. With that said, I know there's two amendments on the floor. Councilman Sinapi.
Yeah, so what I was saying during public comment, there is very much a plan in place, thanks to both the willingness of the council and the school committee. Now, the school committee is going to be basically doing a deep dive into their budget line by line comparatively with other districts, because that seems to have been one of the things that's lacking based on budget hearings when we asked Mr. Ferrucci about this. So rather than just saying we need this money based on how it's gone in the past or how we think it's going to go now, it's going to be comparing to similar school districts so we can figure out what they're doing, if they're doing anything better, how we can kind of live up to that standard, and also to figure out if maybe we're actually doing it right. That way we can substantiate, look, the money that we're spending on certain things is actually valid, and maybe we even need more. And then based on that deep dive, we're going to have a plan of action developed to how to reduce expenditures. And for both those things, the city is allowed to be involved without limitation, was the verbiage in both resolutions. So there's no more everyone pointing the finger at everybody else saying, I wasn't privy to that, I wasn't involved. Now everyone's involved. Everyone can work on it together to make it work. That way we're not sitting at budget hearings having the same discussion I had this year that I've seen in years prior. And, I mean, the good news is when it comes to both these proposed amendments is either way, the school department's getting the money. That's without a doubt. I mean, we have our sub A, which was based on the amendments requested by the school committee. So, obviously, that should carry weight given what it is. However, we have a sub B that addresses the mayor's concerns, the auditor general's concerns, and it's fair to say doesn't hurt the school committee because they still get the money, except now there just won't be a reference to the prior year. So both these amendments accomplish the goals. They simply have different verbiage, one mentioning last year, one mentioning line items as far as how it gets spent. I think we're in probably the best situation we have been in with this entire debacle since this was announced that school sports were going to get cut, because now we know they're going to be funded. We just got to figure out which way. So Mr. Morrow nailed it when don't take any debate to perceive it as negative towards what we're trying to do, because it's really not. Everyone agrees this is happening. People just want to debate potentially the line items and whether or not we recognize the Auditor General's statements and the mayor's concerns. So take heart. If you never did before, now's the time.
I think you were talking in particular in the wherefore clause paragraphs 2, 3, and 4 about what the school committee intends to do, the reports that they'll give to the council when they compare themselves to other districts of similar size to keep us informed and to give us a report and to disseminate more information regarding a plan to reduce expenditures at least 4 months prior to next year's budget, and that the Warwick School Committee will allow the city council or its designated representatives to participate in the entirety of the process for both of those processes.
Yep.
So, that hasn't happened in the past. We were given things at the last minute, and hopefully that will make a big difference in preventing these issues from coming to fruition in the future. Does anybody else have any comments before we vote? Yes, Councilwoman Travis.
Yes, I do want to address a couple of the issues that were brought up by the public. First of all, I have to say, and I've been here a long time, and out of all the school committees, this has been one school committee that you could actually talk to. Now, I was here during a strike. I've been here through many council and heard the same story. And yeah, don't take Councilman Howell's words offensive, because we heard all of those years after years, and we all heard that. But this school committee has been different. And I've worked closely with them. I respect them. I know we can work together. That's why I'm very excited when we say the city and the school committee shall work together in the future. But I do take offense of when we have somebody from the public can come up, and they can talk about us because we're political people, we're politicians, but when they can stand at that mic and talk about our kids and disgrace our kids who work so hard, I think that's disgrace about that person himself. And that's the sad part, that how you can be belittle yourself that bad to talk about the kids in our school system. That's awful. My intention basically is to go forward, make sure they get this money. But on Amendment B, and this is what I want to address to the council, our constituents are going to say, many of them are going to say, they're going to complain about paving, but this room was full of people wanting sports, wanting their kids' future. They were here for that. They weren't here yelling about paving. And yeah, they're going to yell about paving. I know they are. I'm willing to take that hit for our kids. But they were here because this had to be done. That was the main thing, all right? But we're going to have constituents that are going to say, you gave the school $4 million on top of all that other money? Where did it come from? Well, if we go with Plan A, what are you going to tell them? You're going to say, we got to wait till the end of the year so then the mayor can decide what he's going to move around. You can't do that. That don't make sense. Plan B tells you where it's coming from. Whether you like it or not, that's where that's coming from. At least we can tell our constituents where the money's coming from. We can tell our constituents, we listen, we wanted the kids to go for sports, for their sports, their after school programs, and make them better students, because if they're happy, they'll go further with their education and they'll work harder. That's what we gotta be here for. We give the school committee the $4 million, they know what they're doing with it, and Plan B or Amendment B is basically the way to go. Because I am not disrespecting anybody, but if you're not going to identify where it's coming, how are you going to explain that to your constituents? How are you going to say when they say to you, right to your face, where'd you get the money? How'd you pay them $4 million? Where did that come from? You mean to tell me you had that much money hanging around? They're going to criticize us. So this way, we're going to settle this whole thing. They're going to get their money. We'll move forward. We put this to bed. Everybody knows where the money comes from, and we can move forward.
Thank you. Councilman Qualley.
During the public comment, I believe that Coach Flanders probably gave the best answer to the person that was criticizing the decision to go forward with this appropriation for $4 million. But he did ask a question of who's going to be feeling the pain. Well, I'll tell you who's going to be feeling the pain if we don't do this. It's going to be first graders that don't have teaching assistants. It's going to be all the kids at Windman that don't have a heating system. It's going to be all the students in all of the schools that are going to be getting sick because we're cutting custodians again. We don't need to go down that path again. I am not giving up on the kids in the Warwick school system. I'm not giving up on the Warwick school system. I think that this is something that we are doing together as a council in cooperation with the school committee. We have the support of the mayor, and we've got the Office of the Auditor General is going to help us. Anyone who wants to help us, fine. Come in and join the party. If it's going to help us help our kids and allow the kids to go out and be kids, play their games, act in their plays, do after-school activities, be warm and clean while they're in school, then I am a fool because I don't have the printed report that someone said we had to have before we could vote for it. I'm incompetent. I'm going to vote for it because it's for the kids. And that is my response to someone who wants us to tackle every problem every night. We're here for one thing, and that is to vote to try to make it better immediately for the kids of Warwick that are getting ready to go to school, even though they're enjoying their summer vacation. It's going to be here by the time I blink, go to sleep, and wake up tomorrow. Thank you.
Thank you. Councilman Snappy.
Yeah, and just a reminder, because I don't think we mentioned it at this meeting, we have a time crunch. This needs to be done pretty much now if it's going to get done. It's been stated numerous times, but the school committee meetings and the city council meetings, we're out of time. So anyone can say all they want that this should be held, but they'll still be wrong.
Thank you. And I think that's an important point because we don't have time to debate whether, in particular, I think about the audited numbers. I don't, and I think this is an important point because one of the speakers stated that the council had stated, you know, a certain date. This council is not responsible for auditing the numbers of the city of Warwick. The administration does that, not the council. So once we receive the numbers is when we receive the numbers. We're the legislative branch, we're not the executive branch. And I know the mayor has talked about that, what had happened last year, that a finance director had resigned, and that the two in-house auditors had retired, which put the administration behind the eight ball. But the council certainly has expressed interest in getting the audited numbers as soon as possible, and hopefully we'll get them by Friday. In the meantime, the students are the ones that stand to suffer if this gets held, and that's not something that is in the equation for me, because we need to do and get this done for the school, the teachers, the teacher's assistants, and all the things that Mr. Cawley was talking about, the programs, the sports, band, etc. These things need to get done. They need to get done immediately, which is why I called an emergency meeting in the first place, because, or a special meeting in the first place, because of those reasons. With that said, I think that we'll take up sub A. Before we do, I'd like to point out that sub A is an amendment to the original ordinance that's in front of us. And the original ordinance does list all of the line items that were suggested for cuts. One is from $1 million from a contingency line item that's in the budget. One is from the city's fund balance, that's $1 million. $1,085,474 from road repaving, so we'd be down to about $3 million from $4 million. $600,000 from the legal department, and $300,000 from fire department overtime. That was the suggestions. There was a lot of debate as to when this came out, maybe we should take it from other line items. And there's a counter part there. I can tell you that I am not in agreement with taking $3 million out of road resurfacing. Our constituents deserve better than that. I won't support any amendment that cuts paving by that much. There are plenty of other line items, and I think one of the reasons that this was removed in the first amendment was because at the end of the year, we have to move all these line items around anyway, because we never spend to the dime. A couple of line items you might spend to the dime, but all the rest get moved. Either there's an over expenditure and an under expenditure. And we're really guessing right now where this money should come from with any amendment that we have. But I'm not willing to make a public policy statement that we shouldn't repave our roads from in the amount of $4 million to $1 million. That wasn't my intent when we voted on this. It wasn't anybody's intent when we voted on this a month ago. There are plenty of other line items that you can choose from. Rather than put everybody on the spot, pick this line and pick that line, I thought it would be best just to remove it and we can examine it in the spring. I realize there's public policy statements about where we should take it from. It was in the original ordinance that's a resolution that's in front of us. Nobody's skirting their duties. It's right here. I just don't think that you take it from paving. That's my opinion, and that's why that amendment went in, and the rest of subpart A was what the school committee suggested for amendments. And I get concerned if they'll accept the amendments without, accept the resolution without those amendments. So that's why I support subpart A. It's something that the school committee requested, and it's a compromise with everybody that's discussing which line item it should come from. So if there's no other discussion on subpart A, we can vote a yes is to approve subpart A, the amendment subpart A, and the clerk will call the roll. Yes.
No.
Mr.
McElroy? No.
Mr. Ricks?
No.
Mr. Snappy?
No.
Ms.
Strack? No.
So that's one yes. Okay, so that's defeated. So we have to make an amendment. Well, there is an amendment on subpart B. So subpart B is before the council. Is there any discussion on subpart B? Yes, Councilman Ricks.
Point of clarification for the council solicitor. Will there be, under our procedure, the ability to make amendments after the vote on subpart B?
Yes.
Thank you.
Okay.
And you can always move to reconsider next time, too.
All right. So, the motion before the council is to accept the changes on subpart B. And if there's no further discussion, the clerk will call the roll.
Mr. Marola?
No.
Mr. Corley?
Yes.
Mr. Howe?
Yes.
Mr. McElroy?
Yes.
Mr. Ricks?
Yes.
Mr.
Yes.
Ms. Strack?
Yes.
So subpart B stands passed as amendment, as amended. Is there any amendments to subpart B? If not, the motion on the floor, we need a motion to for favorable action as amended. Councilwoman Travis, seconded by Councilman Howe, Councilman Corley, Councilman McElroy. Any discussions on PCR 114-19 as amended, a resolution appropriating $4 million to the school department as discussed? Under the charter, this requires 5 affirmative votes for an appropriation. So this is as amended. Okay? Any questions? If not, the clerk will call the roll.
Mr.
Marola? Yes.
Mr.
Yes.
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 PCR 114-19 as amended stands passed.
Thank you.
Okay. Do I have a motion to adjourn?
Make a motion.
Councilwoman Travis makes a motion to adjourn. Seconded by Councilman Howe, Councilman McElroy. All those in favor?
Aye.
All those opposed? Council stands in adjournment.